You are now listening to FNB Radio.
Just rolls off the tongue. And welcome to FNB Radio. My name is Lindsay Collins and I'm your host. Nikki Fairman, thank you so much for waking up to be on the show.
Lindsay, is it okay if I do it with my eyes closed the
whole
time?
They'll never know if your eyes are open.
They don't know.
They have no idea. You can do it with your eyes and, you know, face laying on a pillow.
That's,
people would think it's the
just
same.
Right now, just picture me wrapped in an afghan. Just huddled up, two hands on a mug.
We're getting
so Hugo. And Lindsay, who was that
who
beautiful
was that?
Voice Guys, of an angel?
Oh my God, it's angel voices so early in the morning. I am super excited to welcome our guest today, who is Steph. I want to call you Steph Ferrari. Is that how you say your name?
It is.
Perfect.
I feel like I should lower my voice.
And you can lower it, you can raise
get
it.
Get my radio voice going.
Hello.
I've never really took it out for a spin before, but
yeah, it feels crazy the first time, but you know, you just start chatting and it becomes a friend.
I think the radio voice is something that people, I definitely do it to where I change it where I'm like, this is my speaking voice. Now I have my radio voice.
Yeah. It's soothing tones.
Mine's in and out. Cause sometimes I have my squeaky voice and then I'm like, meow, some. So there's many layers. I just constantly unaware of myself.
Honey, you know yourself well. You know yourself well. Steph Ferrari. Okay, perfect. So it's two names, but I can call you Ferrari. I didn't know if that was like a nickname. That's last name.
Yeah, it is. It is a nickname as well. I mean, most people do just call me Ferrari or...
Well, why wouldn't they? Why would you just not call someone Ferrari if that was their real name?
Yes.
I would.
Why not?
She's the senior editor at Life and Time magazine. We are so excited to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you so much. I am honored to be here.
Thanks for coming. It's super early in the morning. We're all kind of like just opening up our eyes to stare at stuff.
It is.
I think we can do it with our eyes closed, actually.
We can. I think that actually...
Which is kind of a nice thing.
Yeah. Because we could... Good. I mean, we could be in the bed. Nobody knows what we're doing.
That's the beauty of the podcast.
Yeah.
We can just do whatever we want, really.
Yes.
No, but we are so excited to have you. This has been a really fun thing that we're doing in New York, where we're like... getting to meet all kinds of people for the first time. And Katie Bell, can we just talk about Katie Bell and all of the New York shows?
Because everybody that we know, we know.
Yes.
Yes.
She deserves.
Absolutely.
She deserves.
It should just be a tribute show.
Yeah, actually.
It basically is.
Katie for life.
No,
we're going to get matching tattoos.
Oh,
you
know. That would be awesome.
Perfect. I'm jumping in on this right away.
Yeah.
I know we just met, but I feel like we should be bonded for life.
It feels right.
Because when it's real, it's real.
It's real. It's totally real.
And I feel fully committed.
No, she was like, we were kind of like workshopping ideas at who could come on the show. And she was like, oh my God, Steph. And we kind of started emailing back and forth. And I immediately was like, yeah, you're amazing. Come on the show. And I'm a huge fan of the magazine. I actually have two of the print copies because my sweet sister did some watercolors for it.
Oh, no way.
And then a little writing too. So I was like already a fan of the magazine.
I did not realize that. Who's your...
She's right there. Hey, girl.
Hey. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, hey.
It's it. You guys, in a past life?
Surprise guest.
I know. How about that?
But the print magazine, that's, you know, that's some OG.
I know. Well, that's what we were talking about because I have my mom, obviously, we all have them because we were like, yeah, oh, my God, it's so cool. And they're, on my coffee table. So,
that's
and
amazing.
It's, when did
Thank
it go?
You.
It's not printed anymore, right? It's
no, we all discontinued print last summer. So we did 6 issues in total.
Awesome.
And then, yeah, so we've been digital. October's our 5-year anniversary.
Oh, yay.
Wow.
Happy anniversary. Hey.
Oh, thank you.
5 years is a wonderful amount of time.
It feels
good
like.
Round number.
Yeah. You know, it's the gold. Gold? Gold?
It's gold,
golden, right?
Birthday. Golden.
We actually have something gold for you somewhere. We're going to find
perfect.
It.
I've been waiting. I was wondering.
It's very.
It's brass.
You.
Sort of gold.
Gold.
Goldish.
Yeah. No, but tell us a little bit about the magazine for the listeners at home, because I obviously own them and love them. But if they've never checked it out, what do they need to know about it?
Yeah. So, Life and Time is, as of right now, it's a digital publication, and we focus on the food world, but the idea is very much about people and examining it more culturally. I'm gonna swallow the microphone.
Get in there. You're
doing great.
And so I mean, we don't. You know, it's not reviews or anything like that. It's much more about people and trying to get to understand the people behind the industry. And I think, and what's fun about this podcast is, I think we've become very interested in the food and beverage behind the scenes as well. So, you know, I've been in the food business pretty much since I was an embryo.
Mm-hmm. Really? Like
one way or another. Yeah, basically.
That's amazing.
But so for me, it's been fun to work for a magazine that kind of
sort of feeds that love.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I get to be like an obsessive geek about it. So
That's what we love, because I mean, it's such an inspiring industry, and when you're in it, you're in it. And it's all you want to talk about. And
yeah,
what you
I'm obsessed with it.
Me too.
Yeah, like I drive her. I'm so annoying to everyone. I'm just like, restaurants, hospitality.
Hospitality, yeah. snuggle, yeah. snacky.
We just love each other.
It's true. Yeah. And we were talking those relationships, you know, and the building of those, and to be able to have that be your job is like, it's the best.
Completely. Yeah. I mean,
well, and I think it's one of those things where people, the evolution of food and its place in our culture is really changing. It has in the past 10 years, even, it's been just like amazing how many people have also kind of attached themselves to that, where they're like, I love food too. And now we're at this hysterical point where everybody's like into restaurants. So it's cool to see another layer where you're like, let's talk about the people behind, because we've talked
right,
about everything
right.
so much.
Exactly.
That we're like, we've talked about the food itself so much. We've talked about the chefs,
yeah,
which I think is awesome too. But it's great for me to see people kind of going beyond chef worship to where they're like, let's talk about the food runner, because yeah. let's talk yeah. about this guy. Let's talk about the porters that make it happen too, because it's all this big team effort that ends up being more interesting than just what's on the menu.
1,000%. And like the food industry has been my family. I mean, that's...
I was going to say, when you say embryo, do you literally mean embryo? Because my son, I was pregnant with him while I was a commis at Bouchon. So he's been in a restaurant since before he was born.
Oh my gosh. He's
going
to be a dynasty. You're going to have a dynasty.
Yes.
That's amazing. I cannot wait to see who he is in a few years. How old is he?
He's five.
Gold
him ring. He and Life and Time are the same age.
Oh my gosh. Look at that. We're going to get him a gold ring too.
Absolutely.
And a tattoo.
Can he have that?
Is he ready for a tattoo?
A Katie Bell tattoo.
Yes. Obviously, yeah. We're all getting Katie Bell tattoos.
I mean, we're all getting them. It's just going to be a little
bell.
Bell.
Just a bell. Just
I love here. That. I love. Yeah. I was going to say that's perfect right instead of the tear.
Nikki's yep. pointing under the eye right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, my husband's going to love it. He's so supportive.
That's so good. That's so good.
It's perfect.
But were you literally an in embryo baby? You were in your mom's in it too?
No. Okay. That's actually, I probably exaggerated a little bit, but
podcast is all truth as far as anyone knows.
But like my earliest memories of doing anything food related, and my grandmother is an Italian immigrant, and you know, rolling gnocchi like at the age of six up down a fork and just like being covered in flour and probably making a fine mess of her kitchen.
It's getting amazing. She's getting it everywhere.
But I mean, and then as soon as I could get a job, I got a job in the food business. I was 15 and I was like cutting school so that I could go work at the bakery down the street at 5 a.m. And then I would work there until 2, and then I would take a break, go home, put on my whites and go prep cook at a catering company, and then do, you know, I was a server for the caterer too, and I would work till 2 a.m. And, you know, I mean, I was obsessed. I was obsessed immediately. Yeah. And
some people cut school to do other things like drugs, but not,
I
was school to go work in a restaurant.
I was cutting
school
so that I could go wrap scallops in bacon. Thousands stuffing mushrooms.
Oh, I bet there was a maple glaze in there.
Oh,
there was.
You know it. You know it.
I know there was.
And then later on, there was a beet and goat cheese salad.
Oh, get it. No.
What remember a flavor when that, combo. Remember when that was like, oh my, I remember my first beet and goat cheese salad where I was like, God damn it.
Did it have pistachios or candied pecans?
Candied pecans.
Of course.
But thank you for asking. It did, because I was like, what is this world?
Who are you, magic?
I'm always curious what the nut selection is, because I've, you know.
Can go any way.
Walnuts.
I don't know. Was there a slivered almond?
Could have been.
Could have been.
So I slivered almond. I feel like that was like early aughts.
Oh, yeah.
This was like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pistachios came late into my life in the game. It was more like I had more of the pedestrian nuts where it was more like.
Why are nuts so
the
pedestrian?
Normal colored nuts.
It was just the regular nuts, like peanuts, you know, people are putting those in salad.
Peanuts are undervalued.
Peanuts get a bad rap. Where
you know
they're
what?
Like, people think they're pedestrian. You know what? I love a salted peanut.
Peanut butter is a huge part of my life, like just a huge part of my life.
As it should be. I mean, I drove through Virginia a couple years ago, and I bought to my my then significant other's chagrin a 6-pound bag of boiled? In the shell Virginia peanuts, which we were driving from New York to LA, and I proceeded to pretty much live off of that bag of peanuts for I know they're delicious and they're so undervalued.
They're
packed
pretty much
protein.
Protein powerhouse.
Not even technically a nut, more of a legume.
That's correct.
I mean, it's living its truth. It's nut fluid.
It can do whatever it wants.
Yeah, it sees itself as many things.
It does.
But peanut butter, peanut oil. Give it up.
You know what, though? I'm so surprised how, like, the peanut is the most approachable thing until you boil it. And then people are like, okay, they either love it or they hate it. There's no
way. Or you throw it in a Coke.
Yeah.
And you just get real Southern.
How do you even know about that?
My stepdaddy do that.
That is the best thing ever.
There is nothing wrong with that. More people should understand that that's a thing.
That was a thing. Well, and that was actually, when I was a pastry chef, that was one of my very first desserts, is I made a chocolate Coca-Cola cake with a peanut caramel.
I want to high five you, but I don't know if that's going to, we're going to get pop. Like, when I had an ice cream shop, that was a thing that I did. I made an ice cream that had candied peanuts, and then I made like a Coke swirl.
Reduction?
Yeah. Stop. And people were just like, I can't eat that. That's the weirdest thing.
And they're like, you accidentally fucked up and put those two ingredients together. You got confused.
Listen, yeah. I bet you also hate like, cream soda, you asshole.
And I was like, sorry, get out.
Get out of my shop. You don't understand this. You don't understand me.
You don't get to be here.
Yeah. They weren't having it.
You don't deserve.
Because I had a man and I was like, they were like, oh, well, we've been here and there and everywhere. And he was talking about all the fried chicken and everything that he ate. And I was like, oh my God, did you have any boiled peanuts? And he was like, now I won't go that far. I was like, what?
What?
Why? He was like seriously grossed out to the point that I never really thought about people being like, I hate that.
What? I've never had it.
Oh my God, Steph.
And I'm such a peanut freak. But
well, next time I come up here, honey, the key is you got to have green peanuts. Okay. They have to be young green peanuts.
Okay.
My grandfather, God rest his soul, made the best.
Which are green peanuts are hard to find in a store.
I was going to say.
You can't really find them. So you got to go to a farmer's market and like get them. And then you just literally boil them in salt water. People can season them and get nasty with it.
I just straight
What's the
salt.
Texture like after that?
It's like a chickpea almost, but softer.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just ripping them up and you just suck them out of the shell and then you throw the shell.
It's like that briny salt water that stays in the shell.
Yes.
Oh, you do it with the shell on.
Oh, yeah. Boil the peanuts in the shell.
Oh.
And so then it's like this little oyster almost.
You're
blowing my mind
right now.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to go home and do this today.
Yes.
You got to do it. And you can make them. It's really up to you. This is what I love about people's boiled peanuts. I like to try them because some people let them go longer and they get real tender. Some like them a little al dente.
The shell after you boil it.
My
like
grandfather
that.
Will if they're really soft. And I was just,
oh my God.
Because
I'll eat any.
Because some of them, the younger ones, they're a little squishier and then I'll eat them.
That sounds amazing.
But I love salt and it's like I said, briny, like peanut oyster brine. Yeah, you're just going bananas.
I love this like southern oyster idea.
You can eat them hot or cold.
You can blend them into a hummus.
You can. Ooh. I want to make a salted boiled peanut ice cream. I don't know why that's not a thing.
Oh my God. Let's do that, baby.
God damn it, Nikki. Yeah. Of course you do. I want to know about your ice cream shop because you have a cookbook. You have an ice cream shop. You have so many things. I don't even know where to start.
I'm a bit of a schizophrenic when it comes to my career. It's just, and none of it makes sense. People ask me for a resume and I'm like, I can't, I don't know.
Which version of me would you like?
It's like, yeah, I'm going to tailor this exactly for you, but it makes absolutely no sense on paper.
Yes.
But yes, I did have an ice cream shop in Brooklyn for like the briefest of moments.
Just a whisper.
I just dropped in and out.
Yeah.
I was just like, hey, I'm going to do this real quick and just see what happens.
I got to go, guys.
Yeah. And then I was like, peace out. I had an ice cream shop in Carroll Gardens in 2014 and it was open for about 6 months. And I then transferred it over to Diana Hardiman of Milkmaid, who is amazing.
Oh yeah.
And now she is in that space and running her shop. But it was a good time. So
what inspired you to, you just love ice cream in general or what inspired that?
What inspired that was actually my before that, I was in the beer business.
Oh, what? Wow.
Yeah. So, again, it makes no sense.
I love it. I love it. It's perfect.
And that's actually the Katie Bell connection. So, I was working in a beer bar in Connecticut where I grew up, working at a day job as in an advertising agency because I was a I don't even know where to start here. So, in addition to like the food stuff, I've always been a writer, but, and my, I didn't really realize you could be a food writer when I was in college. Like I knew that people did it, but nobody was like, other than being a critic.
Right.
I was like, okay, what am I going to do with this? And blogs were sort of starting to be a thing, but I wasn't really participating in that. So I got a job at an advertising agency because I was like, here's how I can be a food writer. I can write copy for Skippy and Bertolli. And
yeah,
like,
there you go.
So I was doing that. So I was writing like, you know, really clever headlines for that never got used.
Wasted gems.
Skippy.
Oh, you have
you
no idea.
You missed your chance.
The things that I
It's not Jif.
How about that's the best copy I got.
Is it Gif or Jif?
Yeah. Is it Gif?
I seriously don't know.
I still don't know.
I think it's Gif.
No one's ever said it right.
But so I was working at an advertising agency doing that. And then I was like, fuck this. I'm really bored. And, you know, at the time I needed to make some extra cash. So I got a job at a beer bar in Connecticut called the Ginger Man, which also has locations in
There's a Ginger Man here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So really, really great beer bar at a time when craft beer was like just becoming something that people cared about. And nobody would buy an IPA if I fucking shoved it down their throat.
No, they were like,
and now everybody's
this?
Like,
are we like
circa 2001?
This was actually, no, this was 2007.
People were still not on board.
This was the Blue Moon era. People were like, give me a wheat beer. Give me like a half a bison.
Y'all got Hoegaarden.
Yeah. Oh my God, Hoegaarden.
You got an orange?
But Hoegaarden was with
orange
a lemon.
That's right.
The Blue Moon was with an orange.
Yes. That's right. And people thought they were the shit for doing that.
And then people started nicknaming it. You know, they started shortening to like Hef, and they felt cool.
Jacob, what kind of hefs do you guys have?
Oh my God, we had so many hefs.
So many hefs.
But I eventually started ditching the day job so that I could go work shifts at the beer bar. So this is my history. I just,
you're like, I don't want to do the real thing I'm supposed to do. Right. I want to go, you just keep getting called into the restaurant.
Yeah. So, but I wanted to learn more about beer. I got super obsessed with it. And, there were two or three places in the country at the time that were really big on beer. It was Portland, Denver, and Southern California. Those were like the spots.
Now that I'm thinking about it, you right, girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I packed my shit, quit my job, and moved to Southern California.
Because why not?
Because why not?
Wow.
I love Southern California.
And
that's all. You were just like, I'm going for it.
Yeah. And I was a really big No Doubt fan when I was a kid.
Weren't we all, though? Because Gwen Stefani is perfection. You know, I think I basically wanted to be her for a long time.
I still do.
Yeah, I'd be
still
her.
Do. And I was super creepy, and I moved to like the street across the street from where she lived. She grew up.
Hey, girl.
Yeah. And I was like, I, you know, Google mapped it and got.
That's fucking amazing.
Hey, Gwen, you haven't stopped by to see your mom lately. Like,
well, I wound up working with someone who actually knew her family, and I was like, oh,
can I come over to your house? Yeah. Or
do y'all want to adopt me? Yeah. Be Gwen's sister?
Will you be my mom? No? Okay.
And so I lived like a block from the house that they shot the Sunday morning video in.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was really creepy. I was a very big stalker.
Legit creepy. And
I love it.
So proud of you.
I'm so glad you just were like, I'm going all in on this. I love beer and I love Gwen Stefani and I'm going to Southern California to do both.
What more reason do you need to drop your shit and go across the country?
I've done things with less intent.
Yes.
You know, that should have had more thought. Like, I want to live by Gwen Stefani's house that she grew up in. So
I respect it.
Did you ever see her? Have you ever met her?
I met her here in New York when I was in high school. She was doing a signing at the Virgin Megastore. I don't know if you remember when record stores were real.
Record store. Yes, I do.
Yeah. And I snuck in the morning when they were doing the signing, and I just basically like stowed away when they kicked everyone out and hid among the the like stacks of records. And the manager found me, and he was like, he gave me like a wink and a smile, and he was like, you can stay. But so I had to like stay down there for like 6 hours by myself with my boyfriend at the time.
That's amazing.
And he was just like, fine. So she came out to do the signing, and I just cried all over her.
Perfect.
And then for like the 30 seconds that they allow you before they keep herding you through, they're like, okay, move it along.
It's like that scene in A Christmas Story where they're like, after they see Santa and he's like, keep it moving. Yeah. And they just push you with their feet. And
precisely.
And you're like, I love you.
But that was my, that's my, the extent of my experience with Gwen Stefani. But, you know, someday maybe I'll
get her. Gwen, if you're out there.
I mean, she, you know.
Yeah, if you're listening to F&B Radio.
I would love to interview her for Life and Time. Maybe she cooks. I don't know. They did cook in that Sunday morning
maybe
video.
Maybe she eats.
She probably eats, at least.
And this is my, this is another reason why I love working for this publication, because I can make anything about food. I'm like, you know, I'm obsessed with Disney World. I'm like, let's go there and talk to Mickey Mouse. I'm sure he...
Mickey
Mouse eats.
Yeah.
His
first word was hot dog. The first word that Mickey Mouse ever said on any, when he started talking, was hot dog.
Is that hot dog?
Yeah. Hot dog was the first two words that he ever said. So I feel like they're his favorite food.
Wow.
I don't know him
the
well.
The corn dog nuggets in Disney World, by the way, are worth the admission price.
I've never been.
Thoughtful to me.
Just go. I mean, there's something about that batter. I mean, everything in there is infused with magic. Obviously, that's the ingredient.
It's a kingdom of magic.
Yes, exactly.
So the nuggets. So, but I like the nuggets because you can eat a million and be like, that's just, I've been eating nuggets. I didn't have 15 corn dogs.
No, there was no stick involved.
Nobody has to see my pile.
Somebody was making fancy corn dogs somewhere recently with like really, you know, like heirloom corn fancy. And I'm sure they're amazing, but let me tell you something. Sitting,
I want the trashy
on Main Street, eating some trashy like Disney World nuggets,
feels right. It feels good.
There's nothing better,
you know.
Somebody was workshopping a fancy corn dog at a place that's not open anymore in Charleston, but they hadn't put it on the stick. They were just testing the batter, and let me tell you, the stick is really important because otherwise they like handed it to me and it was like this. It just looked disgusting.
Yeah.
I was so upset by it because, like, here's this, like, tempura fried wiener that was just...
And what are you dipping it in?
I don't know. I was like, I love corn dogs. I don't feel good about whatever's happening here. Like, this is making me upset.
Well, that's why the nugget's nice, too. And the nugget is nice because you get this, like, batter to wiener ratio that is super
all-encompassing.
Yes, batter to wiener ratio has always been.
Yes. It's the pups. Are they called corn pups?
Corn pups.
They should be. They
serve those at the Crystal Burger.
Oh. We passed a White Castle, and that's it's right by Katie's house on Myrtle, and I'm like, okay. We're going.
I don't think I've ever had White Castle, to be honest with you.
They make their chicken nuggets in a circle.
Oh.
they look like donuts, the hole in the middle. Ooh. Chicken rings. You know what? Very fast forward.
The chicken ring.
I love the innovation in size, flavor, consistency, shape.
Yeah. Well, McDonald's really is going out of their way to make them look like real pieces of chicken nugget, but we're like, we can all see the cookie cutter shape, so why don't you just be real honest and put it into a donut?
I want to pretend I'm a queen.
Let's keep it real.
With a bunch of chicken rings.
I still love like the Tyson ones that, you know, like they're shaped to look like a drumstick.
Yes.
And I still pick that up by the handle and like eat it
like a savage.
No, but you do get to eat the actual bone in that case, which is nice.
Hey, yeah. It feels like you're cheating somehow.
It's true.
You're like, I'm getting away with something.
It's like smoking a candy cigarette.
It's just that's my candy cigarette.
So you're in Southern California.
Yes.
You're making beer. Did you ever actually start brewing beer?
I did. I went to a couple of brew days, but basically I just I wound up getting really lucky. There was a brewery there that was fairly new. They were about 6 months old. It is called The Brewery, and it's spelled B-R-U-E-R-Y. The owner's last name is Rue, so it's like this amalgamation. Very very clever.
So clever.
And I hope I never know how many times I've said that and spelled it. The brewery, B-R-U-E-R-Y.
Yeah, my God, just part of it.
So I love you, Patrick, but please.
You're making me tired with all the spelling I have to do.
Why don't you name your podcast a visual pun?
Visual puns are hard for people.
E-F-F-I-N.
No, it's E-F-F-I-N. It's F-N, like F-N.
Get it.
It's also food and beverage. Never mind.
I love it.
People are always like, hey, F-N Bradio, and I'm like, yeah,
that's us. That'll brew as well. Sure,
whatever.
Yeah. It's cool.
The brewery, B-R-U. Wait, what's is it? E or A?
Oh God, we already lost.
Brewery.
Again, Lindsay Cutter's slack.
Sorry. Thanks, Patrick.
But seriously, so I got hired there as the tasting room manager, like off a Craigslist ad, and it was one of those situations where, and I'm sure you've seen this a lot, and the F&B world. But, you know, it was so small. There were like four of us at the time. It was, yes, I was a tasting room manager, but pretty
you're
quickly
doing all
it was like,
jobs.
You're doing everything.
Yes.
So, and now they've been open for 10 years and I went there recently and it's like, I don't recognize it. A single person or a thing about the place, it's like exploded. But it was a really special place. And that was... The beer industry is very much like the food industry.
Yeah.
In the sense that it is just like the most welcoming. Everybody's, you know, and at the time, everybody was sort of against big beer. So it was, there's a competitiveness, yes, but also everybody's kind of in it together.
It's a little ragtag band of people yeah. who are like, we can do this exactly. and we want to support other people who are doing this. It's not like my brewery is better than yours. I see so much camaraderie with that where I'm like, can we really tolerate another brewery, right. like a microbrewery in Charleston? But the answer is always yes,
yeah.
because
yes.
they're like, we just want to have awesome beer that's brewed here.
Totally.
We don't want it to be like, we are the one great beer.
Yes,
we want to be like, you know, a place where good beer comes from.
Completely. And this was at a time when like these breweries were opening up and they were like really mainly focused on serving their communities.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and I think Charleston's a great example of that. And Asheville
sure,
and like a lot
sure.
of these
Asheville.
Cities that, you know, people, they weren't opening up and going like, I want national distribution and I want to be like all over everything.
They, yeah, were, just they like, were like, this is for you.
And most of these, they were just like, you know, I am a home brewer. I like tinkering in my garage and let's make something cool. And that was really my first exposure to the other side of the business, because prior to that, I had always been on the service side, you know, restaurants, waiting tables or,
yeah.
So this was like a departure for me to get into the beverage business, but,
they're still so closely intertwined though. And it's like you say, like I see so much crossover, like even with people who will work in the front of house and then they're like, I'm going to go work a Harvest
yeah.
and they'll like pop out, you know, for a season
for
and they'll
sure.
be like traveling or they'll go work at a brewery. And that was something when I was at Per Se that was really cool. Cause they always give a scholarship every year and it's like for you to do continuing education to
yeah.
kind of learn something new.
Yeah.
And that was the number one thing that people would apply for. They'd be like, oh, I want to go to a brewery.
That's
or
cool.
yeah. Cause it was just, there's so much similarity where it's like attention to detail and like a craft that kind of represents a place.
Yeah, definitely. And I got extremely geeky on it. You know, like
that happens fast though,
yeah.
where you're just like you, it kind
it was
of
my whole life.
Swallows you up.
Yeah, totally. And so I became certified as a Cicerone and I started teaching
wow.
beer classes and I wrote a beer book and
wow.
just like got just totally obsessed with it. And I did that for a long time. But one of the things that I really learned while I was working at the brewery, because we were doing Patrick, sort of, who owns the brewery, is sort of like a flavor genius. He's like, he's a food guy. He loves food. And so all of the beers were really reflective of that. And it was stuff that, like, now is maybe not so avant-garde, but at
yeah.
the time it was like he was making a beer with Thai basil and rice, and he was making a beer with chamomile, and he was making a beer with, you know, I mean, even now his beers are definitely like kind of off the wall like that. But it was a way that I learned about flavor combinations. At the brewery in a way that I hadn't even really thought of them in food.
Totally.
So, and then I got really into just understanding pairing and how different flavors kind of elevate other flavors and highlights and contrasts and all that stuff. And I got obsessed.
Yeah.
Clearly. So when I decided to leave the brewery and kind of move on from the beer business, I had interest in opening a brewery, but when I came back to New York, I was like, fuck the regulation associated with opening a brewery.
Oh
like it
God,
just
yeah.
was not something that I wanted to touch. And the investment in opening a brewery was insane.
Well, you just require such a huge footprint that it's like,
yeah,
you really, that's why they crop up in these like smaller towns
yes.
and kind of more remote. Cause they're like, let me get this piece of land for
right.
nothing. Cause I need a lot of space.
Cause I need, you know,
I gotta have
20,000 square feet.
yeah.
Like right
now. Is
that
cool? Can I put them giant tanks? And like, they're always, there's a great brewery, in Charleston near where I live. And it's just in an old warehouse, like anything that's just
yeah.
like giant and
yep.
vacant. They're like, I'll make that money.
Oh yeah. Industrial parks. When I pulled up for the interview at the brewery, I was like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But now they're getting really fancy where there's
yes.
like these fun, like I literally, we had a brewer on and he was talking about the tasting room, how they're like putting like places where kids can play, which I'm always like, why? That's so weird.
Oh
to
my
me.
God. They're always, like, they always just, bring the kids.
My kids just run straight to the back where they're brewing the shit. And I'm like, don't, you're going to fall in there like Willy Wonka. And I'm never going to see you.
Oh my God. And like the bubbling yeast.
Yeah. And there's just like spraying down the hood. My kids just in the whatever the dead yeast that's sitting there.
It's good for you. Yeah, there's a lot of nutrients in there.
Yeah. It's healthy. You can get in there and build that immune system.
Probiotics. But yeah, so I came back and I, the idea of opening a brewery was so appealing to me, but I also had always loved ice cream and I was like, nobody's doing ice cream at the time. And this was 2014 and it really did start to kind of pop off at that point. Like then it was in that year, I think, that like Oddfellows and like some of these amazing ice cream places started opening up and they were doing things in the more craft way, I guess I'm using air quotes here, but
guys, you can't see it, but Steph's using her air quotes. They're beautiful.
Because ice cream prior to that, everybody was using a mix and nobody was really making ice cream from scratch truly. And I found out after seeing people sort of do that with beer, I was like, why isn't anybody, you know, showing the process of that? Because I used to love working at the tasting room. People would come in and they would ask me 1,000 questions about the fermenters. And yeah. They would want to know about, like, the barrel aging process and how things were made. And it was cool to be able to sit there and see all the equipment and ask questions. And I was like, I love ice cream and I know fucking nothing about it. Like, I know absolutely nothing about how it gets made. Because nobody was... had that sort of transparent experience. So I was like, I'm going to take the same model. I thought it was so brilliant, you know. I was like, I'm going to take the same model as the beer industry. I'm going to have people come in. I'm going to call it a tasting room. I'm going to let them see, like, the pasteurizer and the tanks. And, like, I put a window into the processing room and all this. And so that was my idea, was just to take the craft beer model and just, like, make it for ice cream. And I had learned all this stuff about flavor from working at the brewery. And that was sort of the concept behind the business and
bringing that full circle.
Yeah, exactly. But it was fun. It was like a fun experiment, but I learned pretty quickly that I am, I'm a bit of a rambler and being tied to like a place was really, really hard for me mentally.
That's kind of my next question where I'm so curious about you. You're an Emmy award winning director.
Let's talk about it. Can we just drop that bomb?
Yeah. Talk about a schizophrenic career.
Producer. Actually, I didn't, I can't take credit for directing, but, producer. I did win an Emmy for producing on a show. Yes. So Wow. Yeah, that's a thing that still feels really weird. Like I wake up sometimes and I see it sitting there and I'm like, that's,
you're like, sup girl.
That's really strange.
They may get in here.
But it was also like,
sup him.
Love you girl.
Get back
in bed.
It's me and Emmy.
That was a thing too that I didn't realize was a real possibility until like halfway through the ceremony that night. Like we were sitting there and I was like, yeah, it'll be fun. There's like free champagne and I'll get to wear a fancy dress. And then like halfway through, I was like, oh, we might actually like win this thing.
What
like,
was the show?
So the Life and Time also has a production arm. We do a lot of film work. And it sort of happened organically. We were approached by KCET, which is the public television out in LA. And they wanted to do a show and they said, you know, pitch us some ideas. And we came up with a couple and that was the one that they picked. And it's called The Migrant Kitchen. And it's basically, it's about the food and beverage business in LA and how immigrant culture has sort of shaped food culture there.
Yeah.
And I think it's just this, and this was pre-election. So it was something that became, I think, more relevant even as we were doing it.
Absolutely.
But it was just a show that we thought like we know a lot of people in the business and you know like those are the stories that we wanted to tell and we thought it was important and in LA specifically has just like such this textured amazing landscape of different ethnic cuisines, but not just the ethnic cuisines. We're talking about like restaurants that just, you know, one of the episodes features Providence, which is, I guess I would say maybe like French influence, but, you know, it's a high end fine dining restaurant. And that episode focused on a guy named Jorge, who's from Guatemala, and he started as a dishwasher, and you know, it's one of these classic food and beverage stories where he kind of worked his way up, and he was making family meal for everybody a lot. And you know, the chef there, Michael Cimarusti, who's just like a champion for his team. He's just like the most amazing, sweet human being. And he was like, he would eat this guy's food, a family meal. He's like, dude,
what are we doing? Why are we serving this?
So, and yeah. And so some of the dishes that Jorge was making just for the crew wound up in an iteration, like on this like fine dining tasting menu.
Amazing.
And that's the kind of stuff. So we did, there were stories like that, but there were also stories like, you know, we documented a guy who's been making chicharrones on the boulevard, you know, downtown LA for the last 20 years. And that's what he does. So it did kind of, run the gambit in terms of how that, what those contributions were, but it was just amazing to kind of talk to all these people. I mean, we had more stories than the content that we don't get to include. Like, I cry at night over because it's just like there's so much,
all
and
your
you
babies,
yeah,
you
and
know?
You get really attached to these people, and they all have amazing stories, and they all deserve to be told. Unfortunately, we had, you know, 13-minute episodes, but but so the show was just one of those things that, you know, you say yes to and you're like, yeah, sure, I'll try that. That sounds cool. Like, I think that's, you know, that means something to me. That's important. And you put your head down and you do it. And then like, you
then
kind
you
of forget about
for
it. Like,
then
you move on and like,
you want an Emmy.
And yeah. So, James Beard nominated it and we got to go to that, which was amazing for
so
me.
Fun.
Cause that like, for me, that was always,
that's our Oscars.
Yeah. And you know? I've always been obsessed with like, who's on the James
who's
Beard
doing what,
and even just getting to go to the James Beard Awards this year was like
so fun,
mind-blowing for me.
Well, you turn around, you're like, oh, what's up, Idol?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm such a restaurant geek. Like, all of these people
hey,
were
everybody I love ever in life.
I'm sorry, I just bumped into you, Daniel Ballou.
Right, exactly. I mean, it used to be Gwen Stefani, and now it's like, you know, I don't know, Dory Greenspan. It's like
Alice Waters.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck. Alice Waters.
Be my mom, Alice Waters.
And her new book. I gotta get that.
Oh, that's like, it's on our list. It's literally like, we have to get the book.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. Yeah, so we did that, and now we're in the middle of season two. Like, I was up at 3 a.m. watching Cuts, actually.
Nice.
So we wrapped season two, and we're in post-production, and it'll be out in October.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this. We got a little more, time and a little bigger budget this year. So we're doing, last year was 5 like 12 to like 15 minute episodes. This year they're full 30 minute episodes, and
awesome. So you can really paint a picture
a
of
little bit more
on.
Yeah, we've got more room, we've got more, and we're doing it in a bigger way. And you know, we're such babies, like we have no idea what we're doing most of the time.
Yeah.
But we know a little bit more than we did last year, so perfect. It's a little bit more refined, it's a little bit more, the subjects are just, they're just incredible people that are doing incredible things, and not just in the food world. Like, we're documenting people that are like, you know, Casilla in LA, the people that own that are incredibly amazing human beings that are doing human rights work. And, you know, it's the couple behind it. The wife is, she's a human rights attorney, and they're using the restaurant sort of as this like platform to bring people in. And like, it's just, people are just doing amazing things, and
just knowing that people are putting good things out in the world and in the shit storm that we live in, it's just nice.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's nice. We're like all in it together. And like, I think the food and beverage industry has been, it's been an amazing place to be in this sort of shit storm that we're living in.
Well,
hospitality, it is an extension that ends up being more than just like, let me take care of you for dinner. It's like, they just want to take care of people in general. That kind of, that spirit that people have when they want to be in hospitality is generally just giving their more selfless, I would say. Yeah. And it makes, that just kind of transfers into every part of their life where they just give a shit about you in ways that maybe other businesses, it's like, it's not our business to give a shit about you.
Yeah.
And people are really taking that approach, I think, in other businesses now, where they're like, maybe we should take a look at that. And that's how you keep stuff. And there's things that we need to be paying attention to, like people mattering.
Yeah. And, you know, this is something that Katie Bell and I talk quite a bit of that.
She matters the most.
Katie Bell matters all the time. She fits into every conversation, really.
She's perfect all the time.
But we talk about, you know, we've had this conversation, and I wrote a piece about this not that long ago, that I think there's something about the food industry that just attracts a certain kind of person. They're typically more empathetic.
Yes.
They are more sensitive in a lot of ways, which is why, unfortunately, you know, we do end up with people who, you know, have issues outside of, there's a lot of depression. There's a lot of, you know, drug abuse and stuff. And that stuff happens. But I think that happens because the type of person that gets into this business wants to take care of other people. Like, we genuinely are caretakers and nurturers, and we're very sensitive people. And for me, I've moved around a lot, and I've always found a sense of home in the food business. Those are the people that have invited me over for dinner.
That's how you get to know a city. You start working in a restaurant, and not only that, you start to get to know your community by being in a restaurant.
Yeah,
it's not like going and getting a job at, you know, in a cubicle. You're forced into a world.
Yes.
Well, there was just a really sad thing that happened in Charleston where a chef was killed. And the most inspiring thing for us was that it was all like the smallest donations. Like, it was like $20 to $50, but they ended up raising like $40,000.
I was going to say it was like 100. I thought it was like 80.
No, it's over $100,000.
It just keeps going. Wow. And it's just people in the industry being like, fuck that. That sucks so bad. And they feel it so deep to where they're like, even if I only have $20, like,
and
nobody
most of them
just
only do have $20.
Yeah. And
we
even
don't
that,
work in a business where
nobody's
know,
rich.
Nobody, right.
Nobody's
right.
They're
the
not.
Town.
But there's enough of them that care enough to be like, I can give them 50 bucks right now.
Exactly.
And it overwhelmed me to be like, that's people really just like putting themselves last.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
I mean, that's what, you know, after in November last year, I won't even refer to the actual event, but in November of last year, when everybody was trying to do something, it was, to me, that's what was like so heartening, was just to see what
people using
what
their
people,
voices.
Right. And what they were doing, that maybe it wasn't money. Maybe it wasn't, you know, they couldn't do certain things. So many of the conversations that we were having last year, and right after the election, and it was just like, well, what can we do? I mean, at Life and Time, we put on an event to raise money for Planned Parenthood, because we were like, what can we do? What do we have? What do we have at our disposal? And we have amazing photographers.
Yes.
We have relationships with like Ace Hotel. We have relationships with, you know, wineries and places that might donate something. So we got together 14 female chefs in the LA area, and we called them up and we're like, hey, would you be a part of this?
Yes,
and
get in here.
Everybody
the
says
answers
yes.
were like, absolutely. Like,
yes.
So we did a portrait series of these 14 chefs. We had a photographer donate her time. She's this incredibly talented photographer, DP. And we put on an event at the Ace Hotel, and they donated the space, and we raised over $10,000 for Planned Parenthood. And it was like,
that's amazing.
And it was just one of those things where like, you look around the room that night and you're just like, these are the people.
These are my
like,
people.
These are the people that make, you know, and so, yeah. And this is why I'm fucking boomerang for the restaurant business, because it's just, it's
where it takes care of you right back.
Exactly.
This is amazing. I love all of it. We're going to go to a commercial break, and then when we come back, Steph Ferrari.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Oh my God.
Commercial. Hey, Nikki.
What's up, Lance?
So I've been having a little bit of a problem.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really a problem. Okay. It's kind of a problem. It's just that I have too much focus in my life.
Oh my God. I totally feel you. Sometimes I am like focus drunk.
I'm so focused on my one job, but I really want to do other jobs. Like, I want to be a little more schizophrenic with my career.
I do too. I mean, because I know that inside of me is an incredible dancer, and yet I'm still working at Verizon Wireless. There's more than meets the eye, and I want it all.
I want to do more things.
Yes.
So I found this thing, and it's a little supplement.
Oh,
it's
good.
It's based out of seaweed, and you just take it every day. And what it does, it just splits your personality.
What?
In about as many directions as you want. You can kind of customize it. Yeah.
That is amazing. So the butcher, the baker,
the candlestick maker.
I can be all.
You can be all of them.
And that way you don't waste all your time trying to get really good at one thing. You can be good at about, I don't know, 100 things.
Because why would you rob the world of all of these talents?
All of the talents I have to share with them.
Oh, my God. This sounds great. And I also really trust all things seaweed. So it feels like a nutritional supplement.
It's a nutritional supplement.
That goes right to the brain box.
It's 100% sustainable.
Is it paraben free?
Oh, you know it.
That's very important.
You know it. And you good. Just, yeah, you take it. You just take it and drink it. Mix it in water.
And then free fall into all of the skills and talents within your heart and soul.
And in your mind.
What?
That's it. And it's called it's carrageenan personality disorder supplement. What?
That was so beautiful. So if you want to put your carrageenan
personality disorder supplement on our commercial, you just email us at fnbradio@gmail.com. That's EFFINBRADIO @gmail.com to put your carrageenan on our commercial. And we're back.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, guys, we've been talking with Steph Ferrari. And
what a joy. It's so nice to meet you.
We need about 10 different shows to have all of your lives on there. Because
absolutely. You're one of those. I just want to know everything that's in there. we'll talk about it over our tattoos.
Yes.
That'll happen at about 6.
Very excited about that.
I'm going to start drinking around 5.
We're going to start drinking
around
5.
We'll get the blood
5?
Nice and thin.
Two. Perfect. Yeah. Oh, God. That's the best. And then we're going to get Alice Waters' book, and we'll get matching tattoos.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Reading Alice Waters' book while getting tattooed, that's pretty much
Katie
the dream.
Bell
that's
tattoos.
A Saturday night dream in New York City.
We'll have an open recitation. Oh, I mean,
it's going to be pure magic.
Oh, God. Who knows? Maybe we'll have a crudité. I don't know. Trifecta. Alice Waters crudité tattoos. Cruditats.
Oh my God! You just made a new podcast. Can we please do that?
Yes. The answer is yes.
Cruditats. Mickey's just the golden goose.
I don't know where it comes from.
I don't know how you do it.
I love you. Well, I love the word crudité.
I do too.
I was listening to something the other day, and somebody was like, "We just used to call them vegetables."
And you're like,
"Not anymore."
No.
You don't have to live that boring life.
No.
Listen, I'm not gonna waste my syllables with vegetable. It needs crudité.
That's right.
Oh, you do it fancy. I can't do that.
I just pretend.
French is a language that I just cannot make my mouth do.
French, it's one of those where I can mimic it. I just, when I, and then someone may think that I speak it, and then I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, I just made that up.
All a lie.
Just lying to them.
Just rolling my R's. But thank you so much for coming to our Nomad studio.
Yeah, tell them how they can check out the show.
So the show is, the season one is available on lifeandtime.com or kcat.org.
And it's time T.
T, yes. Yep. Yes. Again, another clever spelling.
Oh, man. Yeah. This is
so
clever until you got to tell people how to get to your website.
Yes, exactly.
Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
Thyme, exactly. It is lifeandtime.com, thyme.
Amazing.
Check it out, guys.
And season two will be out in late October. And we're very excited. We have an incredible lineup of people that are going to be featured on it.
Yeah, why don't you just go get your soul touched,
y'all? Yeah.
Why don't you just see some good in the earth, you know? That's what we all need.
Plus
right
food
now.
Porn.
Yeah.
Don't worry. There will be
bonus.
Food porn.
Yeah.
Oh, was there a melty cheese? I'm in.
Oh my God.
We've got
chocolate dipping sauce. Can we please? Can we bring back fondue?
How about a chocolate molten cake? We'll just cut it open.
Guess who's mad at it? Not
nobody.
Me.
Never.
Not me. Nobody. I've been to a Chili's.
I'll still eat the shit out of a Chili's molten chocolate.
Oh, I'll go ham town. Is there one in Times Square?
Oh, I'm sure.
Crudité, Chili's,
Alice
tattoos.
Waters' book.
Yes.
Reading tattoos. Alice Waters' book at a Chili's.
At a Chili's while getting a tattoo of Katie Bell. Okay.
We got it. Nailed it.
We got it.
Nailed it.
Oh my God. I'm so excited for my Saturday night.
Guys, let's go live our best life.
Game changer.
Lindsay Marie Collins, thank you for having a podcast.
Oh my
Your
God.
Vision.
Nikki Fairman, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you guys. I'm really honored that you had me.
Get in this.
This has been amazing.
I just love you. You're welcome anytime. Please come back to the show. Guest host, tell us more about your life.
Come to Charleston.
I'm coming to Charleston because I need the fucking tomato tartatin from Fig.
I couldn't bring you in. Jason,
dream about.
Well,
that is one of the best. Can we do a best things I ever ate?
Yeah.
That's one of them.
That's one of them.
That's for sure.
That's up there. I had a religious experience. Like I just don't understand.
Oh my gosh.
It's ridiculous.
So
but
much
absolutely,
wonderful.
Come to Charleston. We'll twirl we'll you all over town.
We'll make you tarts.
Honey, we're going to we'll make you boiled peanuts.
Yes. Oh my God.
We have so
things.
Much to do. So I got to schedule. I got to get on the schedule. I love you guys.
I got to buy a calendar for the first time. We're going to work it out.
Yes.
All right.
Analog. Speaking of calendars, put it on your calendar. You can rate us on iTunes. You can do it. You can go to iTunes and you can give us a sweet little rating because it makes us happy.
Yes, yeah. And I love you. I love you too.
And it means so much.
It means so much. So do it.
Guys, we'll keep putting these out. You just throw a little rating on there. It helps us keep those commercials about nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Yes.
And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.